Appreciate the opportunity to speak when I can. Appreciate being asked to speak. And something I love to do then to preach and to love to study from God's Word. And I've come up with a lesson for today that I guess you need to cut that on, don't you? Is that better? Everybody hear me okay now? I don't get too loud, but... And the topic that I've chosen today would be, I think, one that you've heard before, I'm sure, and I've heard all of my life, and I'm confident that you'll hear the rest of your life, I hope. And it was one that is not geared toward any one person in society, or especially any one person even here. But I think it's one that we're going to need. Am I too loud? Okay. But I think it's one that is needed. I think it's as we grow here, as our children grow, my children included, and as I grow, that we need to keep in mind constantly the topic that we're going to talk about. Now, the topic that I have chosen, of course, is modesty. Now, we're going to spend a lot of our time, and we talk about how we dress. Now, before I get into that, I want to make this point before I get into modesty. And I was thinking about, as we do modesty, about how we become an immodest type society. Because that's really what happens. You know, if you take your car or a bicycle, and they from time to time need adjustments. It ain't running right, or it's not changing out right. And so we take it to the mechanic, or we work on it ourselves, and it's never running right. But we adjust that. But sometimes we make adjustments to things that do not need adjusting, and then it doesn't run right. And I think, and I've been hearing a lot of talk on some on CNN, and you know, take that for what it's worth. But a lot of discussions about people spending more, and one of the topics come up was how people dress. I was shocked the topic even came up. Of course, the person that was more conservative, he just got, you know, he got beat up by the other people, but he made his point, and he was right. But our society has changed things, tried to adapt our apparel, and not just the apparel, because as you see in just a moment, we're going to talk about modesty is not just always just the apparel. There's other ways we can be immodest. So, with that being said, what is modesty? And as I looked this definition up, I said, well, we can't get it all from the dictionary, that's for sure. If you go to modesty in the dictionary, it defines it as freedom from conceit or vanity, which is true. Propriety in dress, speech, or conduct. And that's something that I think is along the lines of not just our dress, but our speech and our conduct. Because we can still dress appropriately, but if our speech and our conduct may be also immodest. So we've got to keep that in mind. So I'm not just saying, well, he's going to talk about how long the dress has got to be and all that. And I am. I'm not going to say it's got to be this long, but that is part of being immodest. And we're all grown and we know that. I think some of our young people here and I'm saying this all for you to go out to also tell others that maybe your friends that need to be aware of things. What is immodest? Some folks really don't know. And this is really what the lesson's about. Some folks do know and either don't care or maybe have just, basically comes down to if they don't know and they're dressing immodest, then I guess they don't care to change. So that leaves us with only one source. If we can't get that from the dictionary, all of it, the correct, what God wants us to get out of it, leaves us one source, and that is the Bible. And I know you knew that before I started. So, why did Adam and Eve cover themselves, or why did God cover Adam and Eve? If you remember in the Garden of Eden, and young people, I want you to really listen to this, because in the Garden of Eden, you know that Adam and Eve had ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that God had said, do not eat of the tree, and they did, and of course sin. But they were hiding. And they were hiding from God, as if you can hide from God. But they were doing that, as we try to do the same thing sometimes. We deceive ourselves thinking we're hiding from God. But they were hiding from God, and God called Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam was afraid. And God said, why were you afraid? He said, because I was naked. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? God knew what they had done. And from then on, we know that God had made figs and had covered Adam and Eve because they were naked. So that sort of sets the tone of why God had covered Adam and Eve because they were naked. In Proverbs 7, we're going to spend a good bit of our time here. In Proverbs 7, if you want to turn over there, in Proverbs 7 and the first chapter, and there's other verses we'll look at in this chapter, but in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, and you can look in verse 1, "My son, keep my words." And of course, Solomon writing the chapter here. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law as the apple of your eye. Bring them to your fingers. Bring them on the tablet of your heart." Now, if you look down at verse 6. "For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths." My translation, sons, and so forth. "A young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, and her feet would not stay at home." And you read on that passage that in the twilight, in the darkness, now obviously it wasn't pitch black because of what we can read about later, but in this passage, Solomon, in this proverb, says that I looked through my house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the night, and I knew this person was dressed like a harlot. Doesn't say she was a harlot, but dressed like one. And that's always been a point to me that says that a woman dressed in the attire of a harlot and soul of heart. And Solomon's warning in the rest of this chapter, and at the very first verse, he's warning of the dangers all around, especially in... Now, it's talking about women here. We'll talk about men as well. But just the Bible, the way things work and the way man and woman are made, you know, it doesn't need explanation, I guess, that's what I'm saying. Warnings of the dangers all around. So, people say, well, you're just judging. And the point, I read an article that Solomon, in the warnings to his sons, Solomon did. He judged by the basis of what she was wearing. He perceived that she was not an immoral or not a moral person. That she was dressed immodest. That she was not wearing modest clothing. So it doesn't say she was a harlot, but dressed like one. And Solomon also taught his sons. When he told in the first verse, "My sons, keep my words," and basically saying, "I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and get what I'm saying. Keep my words." So he in this sense is looking and to make assumptions that this person can't be a moral person based on the dress. And he's teaching his sons to do so as well. And we have to be on the lookout for that as well. What she was not wearing was modest clothing. We know that. Now, I can't tell you what she was wearing. It's like today, how do you know what she was wearing? We don't. But we do know that she was not wearing modest apparel. And she was wearing clothing that would be fit for a harlot. That we do know, and we know there is still that today. So, in verse 27, you look down. "Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Now, that's a pretty strong statement. And I think that we know about that, the going after things like that. In one of the verses it says he went after her like someone like going to an ox. And it was a strong man, not just a weak person. Strong men have been led astray by this. In Genesis, God covered Adam as well as Eve. So here we get to the point where they were both covered. He covered Adam as well as he covered Eve, because Adam obviously was naked as well. Adam and Eve both were. Men can have the same effect on women as far as their dress, conduct, and speech. I'm going to stress that to you. It's not just dress. It's dress, conduct, and speech. Men can have the same effect on women. Not in the exact same way, but the same effects. What kinds of things would God see as immodest? Now, I'm just going to put a list of things, and I've tried to come up with different ways to approach the list, and the list is by no means exhaustive. It's by no means trying to point out, like I said, it's not pointing out any one person. It's just pointing out things that I see. Basically, what it comes down to is it's pointing out things that I see myself when I go shopping for my children's clothes. And I don't have to tell you at all that if you got girls or boys, me and a lady were talking about this yesterday, that she has a young girl that it's hard to buy clothes for. It's hard to buy clothes for my boys. And I'm sure y'all find that to be the case now, because most of the stuff is what? It's not modest, is it? Some stuff, as you'll see as we go along. So when I put this list together, it's things that I observed, in the stores. It's things I observed. It is things I have seen in God's house. It is things I see at work. It's things that you see at work too. So a lot of it won't need explanation. Some I'll make a comment or two about. Some I won't. So with that in mind, clothing that is too tight. Now, that's, you know, one of the things, well, you know, I don't want people to sometimes just put on clothes that's too tight. Maybe they can't. Maybe they've outgrown it. There's a few of my clothes that, as I've grown wider, that I can't get into anymore either. But I don't like tight clothes on me. I don't like to feel my clothes on me. I want to be comfortable. But clothing is too tight. Clothing is too short. And in that can mean, you know, people say, well, what's too short? You know, again, no one's going to come out and say, well, I think, you know, if it's, you know, here or there, it's too short. If it passes this, you know, test here, then it's too short. If it doesn't, then you're okay. But so many times we see people that come to services and at work, and I've worked with these people before, and you can't help but notice it. Because that's what the purpose of that is, for you to notice. Now, we can't kid ourselves and think, well, that's not going to bother me. We're lying to ourselves if we think that. But things that are too short would be something like, if you can't cross your legs without people, you know, drawing attention to yourself, it's too short. If you can't walk in such a way, maybe like clothing that's too tight or too short, if you can't just walk without it causing maybe someone to lust or to be immodest, it's not right to wear it. Some things, some shorts, I think we can wear shorts. I think Bob made the comment about there's some shorts that are modest. I have some shorts. Mine are long shorts, but they're not baggy shorts. Bob made the comment, you can still have the right length, but be, and I'm being specific for a reason, because of our young people, even my kids, for that reason. But they can be long enough, but be baggy also, like Bob said, and still be immodest. So it's not always that way, and the way you wear things. Low-cut pants and shirts. This is the style, I reckon, of today. You know, the funny thing about me is my style has never really changed, except for maybe my looks, less hair. But my style is pretty much blue jeans. And every now and then I might throw on a suit, Marvel hose me down real good, and I'll stand before you and say a few words. But when I graduated, my attire was blue jeans. You know, comfortable blue jeans. Nice, good t-shirt, I'm good to go. And if it was the thing here, I probably would just as soon get up here with you in a pair of overalls and speak to you. That's just me. My style hasn't changed. It's still blue jeans and a t-shirt. Now, certain areas of work, you can't do that, so we don't do that. We have to dress either casual, semi-casual, or sometimes when we come to services, we try to, you know, step it up, because we want to dress our best, or at least do a little better. But I go into stores the other day trying to buy some pants for my boys, and we went 3 or 4 hours, went to the mall, 3 or 4 stores, walked ourselves to death, and I do not like going to the mall. And we go to several stores back in Athens looking for pants. You can find a pair of pants, but it's going to expose the body down there. Indecent pants. And I see that with young ladies that I know are trying, or at least new in the faith, wearing that type of clothing. But it's still modest clothing. And the shirts, as we're going to talk about in just a minute, more about the shirts. And that being revealing attire. You know, I think one of the styles now is some of the clothing that are just too low, or maybe too loose. Revealing. Skirt split too high. How do we know? It's another one of those things. And again, I'm being specific because for a reason. But how do we know what's right? How do you buy clothes? You know, and the best policy I have found, and you've heard this before, is if you don't know, if you're questioning it, chances are you probably don't need to wear it. And my mother and father have made this point with some of my older and younger sisters. There's been a lot of discussions at when I was growing up about what they could wear. And I can remember one specific occasion where I had a younger sister who, my youngest sister, as a matter of fact, was going to wear something, or she thought she was going to wear something that particular day or night, and turned out she didn't get to wear it. And I can remember there was a heated discussion over that. Of course, it was really a one-way discussion. It was my dad doing the discussing and my sister doing the listening, and she wound up changing. But skirt split too high, crossing the legs, that type thing, it's just the same old thing. Men going without a shirt. Now, granted, when I was a young kid, I went without a shirt a lot. And Bob would tell you the same thing. And we get into this, I can make arguments like as far as a lot of things, like boys, what was just all with boys and all this kind of stuff. And I don't want to get into all that because, you know, what if I wore a skirt that's got a high split and then I tim it, but everybody knows. And then you get all this kind of what if stuff, but I don't let my children go without a shirt. And I did when I was a child, even on up to when I was probably fifth, sixth grade. You know, when I was playing basketball when I was in school, there were shirts and skins. Just boys around now. I mean, it was just the boys in the playground. And, you know, and sometimes you were shirts and sometimes you were skins. And the skins, guess what? You don't wear a shirt. And I see grown men, though, doing the same thing. Even among men, I still think that can be deemed immodest. Shirts made to reveal. And this one kind of goes back to the other one. The new style is that, and I'm not harping on style because, I everybody likes to be in style. I just kind of was one of those people that really, I mean, I want to be clothed, be comfortable, and that's as far as it goes. If I'm in style, that's great. Sometimes I'm in style, I don't know it. But we have these shirts, the same with the low-cut pants. You go into the store, a nice store, okay? You go into a nice store and you have a shirt that it stops right here. Like, you know, we wear our belt, and that's as far as it goes. Can't move here because if the person moves at all, they're going to expose some part of the torso area. Either maybe the side, the belly button, the back. And that's the way that shirt's made. It's made to do that. And people that wear that type of shirt, and I've noticed, either they really don't care or don't really see that as immodest, but they need to be aware that shirts that reveal like that, young boys and as well as old, but especially young boys, that's bothersome. And young boys and men, they do the same thing with some of the muscle shirts, you know, and some of the tank tops, and they want to look cool, and they want to, when you have that young, vibrant body, you know, and you got muscles developing, and they want to show their muscles and stuff like that. And I understand all that because we've all been there. And sometimes my kids, sometimes when things we want to do, and I always make the point, I know right where you're at. Because believe it or not, I mean, I have been right where you're at. I know how you feel. I know what you're thinking. And here's your next thought. Sometimes I tell them the next thought before they even know they thought it. And that's sure enough, it turns out they're just like me. Scary, but that's the way it works. Church made to be, but they can't move. You've seen it. You go to restaurants, like if they move. And I had at one point about they've pierced this area of the body or tattoos in certain areas of the body. And they wear those shirts for those reasons so they can reveal the parts of the body that have been pierced or tattooed with certain little sayings on their tattoos and so forth. Clothes looking like undergarments. Women, going to try to buy a dress is hard. And I've been with my wife a lot of times. She comes home and says, I couldn't find anything. I mean, how many times? It's frustrating. We couldn't find anything. Because there's a lot of dresses, basically to me, are undergarments. They look like undergarments. It's like a slip. So they call it a dress. Same scenario with people that go out and wear bathing suits, wear a bikini. That's undergarments. It's just called something different to make it sound sociably acceptable. It's undergarment. Mixed bathing goes along with that. Attire and hairstyles that go with the proper gender. Now, I don't see that we have men coming in here in the building just wearing a dress, but I do see, and you see on TV, that men wearing attire that is fitting for a woman, not just a dress, but, you know, I'm talking about the whole thing. We got makeup, men wearing makeup. We got men with the earrings, I mean, dangly both sides of the earrings. And I guess one of the things, I was trying to think in my mind, what if one of a big sports guy, his name is Deion Sanders. That's what I was trying to think of, Deion Sanders. And Deion Sanders is a great athlete. But, you know, I look at Deion, and he's got dangly type, you know, feministic looking earrings. And it's not so much the earring. Again, we're talking about modesty. It's not so much the earring, but it's the message he's sending also with wearing. Why is he wearing? His both ears are pierced, dangly earrings. So if we come into the building, and how would it look if I came in? This is a horrible picture. But if I came in wearing dangly earrings, you would think somebody probably talking to me, I hope, after services, like Marty, you know, may want to think about that. I would hope someone would at least talk to me, but that's not going to happen. And hairstyles that go with proper gender. I see women that, you know, the hair is a glory. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that hair is a glory for a woman. And I, again, I'm not going to say, well, your hair is too short because it's an X amount long. Your hair is too long because yours is that kind of, I'm just saying certain hairstyles go with a man and certain hairstyles go with the woman. And the Bible talks about that. And it wouldn't spend time on talking about that if it wasn't necessary and if it wasn't a matter of losing your soul over. The Bible talks about that. Language that we use that could be immodest, and we don't have to go into that. We know what that's talking about. Topics we talk about with the other gender. There are certain things I can talk to men about. If I want to discuss something with Ralph Gregg, that may be one thing. But it's almost like Bob said, it borderlines if you talk about that same subject with someone of the opposite sex. It may be a man thing. And same thing with women. It may be a woman thing. It's, some things just don't need to be talked about with the opposite sex. And we've become a society where let's just be open with everybody. We've become and not us at Eastside to a degree, although even myself look at things and I see changes, but our society has become rather lax and rather loose in their way of not holding their guard up, not looking at it. It used to be I would hear this sermon at least once a month when I was growing up, my whole growing up life. And you know, it's just that was really preached a lot. And it's good to hear it. Things that are printed on garments. You see this a lot. People that are out on some kind of sporting event, whether it be a cheerleader or in the band, whatever. You see, and most time, it's indecent shorts to begin with. And we know what those kind of shorts are. And it's got something printed right on the back. And that is specifically made to draw your eyes to the words where they're printed. Right? And that's the only design, the only reason for that design. It may be something like, hey, cheerleader. It doesn't matter. It draws attention to places that it should not. So, Jeremiah 6:15, one of the passages that I remember years ago, and not too long ago, probably within the last 10 years, Bill Hall preached a sermon here in the title of the sermon, I won't forget it, "Does God Care How We Dress?" Most of you still remember that sermon. And this is the passage he started out with, and I've never forgot it. And basically what it says was that he said, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they would not. They were not ashamed. They didn't even know how to blush. They had gotten to a point in society where not only were they not ashamed, they didn't blush, so therefore they were just flagrant. I don't care what God's Word says. I don't even care if it's immodest. I don't care if it makes someone lust. It's my body. It's my clothes. And I'm going to wear them if I want to wear them. It's my right. Because in the United States, we're rights driven as a society. If we got a right to go out and do something, then we can do that because it's our right. When we let the government or some secular type education guide our way of thinking rather than the Scriptures. Neither did they blush. Pretty far away, isn't it? Now, it all boils down to this, really. To the fathers and mothers, that's me, that's Marvella, and I can name every one of you that's a father and mother, but I won't name any names today. But it really comes down to the fathers and mothers. If you really care about your daughter or son, you will examine everything they wear and how they wear it. I talked to some ladies that when they were growing up, they had a certain lipstick color. Can't wear that. Dad said, I'm not going to wear that red lipstick. Now, is red lipstick wrong? I'm not saying that per se. I'm just saying, but her father had a sense, something that he just didn't like about that. Clothing, I've had people tell me, even boys, especially my father, would tell you that, no, you're not wearing that. Get back in there and change. And we would say, oh, you know, it's not, what if I, that go change. And it's one of the things we get back, because if your child is rather young, or if they're, you know, where you still got control of, and I hope we do, it's my fault if my child comes up here or anywhere at services, at a ball game, at school, or wherever. If he is immodest, it's not, especially at age, you know, 10, 11, 12, it's not so much their fault, it's going to be my fault and Marvella's fault. And I take most of the responsibility, because me being the man of the house, it's going to be my fault. That's the way I look at it. Now, I think it's high time that men and mothers and fathers step up and be Christian mothers and fathers. And especially the father. To me, I'm talking to myself, because we have a great responsibility to guide our families. That includes our children, to help our wives, to guide our families to do what is right. And this is a very fundamental thing that we can do. Some of the things are a little difficult. Maybe take some study. This doesn't take just a whole lot of study. It's things that we really know about, even if we never stepped foot in a building. I was talking last night, me and Marva, about when I was going on my sermon. We was talking about, you know, most people in the United States and other countries as well, but particularly the United States, wear clothes. Now, every now and then, there'll be somebody that won't in some protest or something, but for the most part, we get up and we clothe ourselves. We don't go to job interviews, for the most part. I have seen folks that did. But we don't go to job interviews or go to work half-clothed. And you know, for the most part, people know what immodesty or modest dress is. Now, we talked about the speech and the dress. Your father or mother may not know or care about how you dress as you get older and you're 18 and you're 19 or 20. Or even maybe a little older, but especially around those years. You may even have a parent. I'll go ahead and put this next point up. You may even have one of those parents that will actually promote that type dress because they want you to be popular. They want you to, in some schools and so forth, they want you to, say like where I used to go to school, they want you to be a cheerleader. They want you to be in the dance team. Where you will have to, as a requirement pretty much, wear immodest clothing. But they want their kids to be popular. And hey, you know, it's nice if your child's popular. I know that. But don't sacrifice your child so by teaching them they can be immodest. When you're 18, 19, you may have parents that don't care or not know or even promote it. However, you'll be guilty of a stumbling block if you dress in a way that's immodest. You'll be guilty. I'll be guilty. If we dress in a way as to be a stumbling block. Now, with that being said, that's just simply saying that as we get older and we're of age, and we're as young people develop and they grow up, we're responsible. You may have said, "Well, when I was raised up, my parents didn't really care," and that's one of the reasons I try to make mention, you know, of some specific things. I started off to mention so many specific. And by the way, this is by no means exhaustive. And then we talked about speech and conduct. Speech and conduct. We talked about those two. So, your speech, you can be dressed fine. I think I'm fairly modest with a suit on, I guess. I hope. But I still can be immodest by my speech and my conduct. The way I carry myself, we can still be immodest. Well, we don't really think of it sometimes that way, but we really can, in our speech, to be immodest. We can be, it goes along with other sins as well. Now, that's the end of the sermon. I just wanted to bring to mind some things that I think it's good for us to think about, some things I think we need to hear, some specifics that we need to hear for our young people, that because we have a lot of young people here. This is a good thing. And like I said, this was by no means to point out someone says, well, you know, tonight we're all going to basically dress, for lack of a better word, we're going to dress like Amish, and everybody has to wear a black, what used to be called the old maxi dress, all the way down to your ankles, and we got coats. Not saying that. Just saying, always examine wherever you go, not just church services. Because if you dress here, you should dress at work like you would want to, you know, be modest here like you'd be modest at work. I'm just saying that examine the things you put on, how they may look. Ask your husband. Ask maybe your kids. Kids are pretty honest sometimes. If they got a good basis. But ask your husband if he's got, you know, some care. If he cares how you dress. Now, some husbands won't care if their wives maybe lusted after or people talk about them. But I do care. And I think we ought to care. But men, ask your wives. Are these shorts too short or do they look indecent? And be honest with your spouse. Be honest with your kids. If it does, then chances are it probably is. We didn't talk a lot about being saved, but it's been brought up here several times about being saved. If you hear the Word of God, and most people here have heard it, but if you've heard the Word of God and you believe that, you really believe that, and you make confession, and you repent of your sins, and you're baptized, and you try to walk a new life and turn away and don't do the things that you used to do and walk in sin. That's really pretty simple. And it's been said here time again, but it's really a simple thing to do. Most people don't do it because they're scared to walk in front of people or don't want to make confession. It doesn't have to be like walk in front of people, but now is the time. So in this situation, I guess, is what we're talking about. We urge you to do that. If you need to make your life right, or maybe just want the prayers of the congregation, nothing wrong with that. No one's going to think you're weak if you need prayers. We all need prayers. Some of us just won't admit it. But if you just want the prayers of the congregation, make that known while we're together, we stand and sing.